radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Where is my mind? How about where were the Rockets last night? Because they also didn't show up on Monday night, and then they didn't show up against the Pacers. That was a karmic loss. Whether it's the big man upstairs, or the basketball gods, or something else that you might believe in. Perhaps the power and saving grace of my Lord and Savior, Tom Brady. The Rockets not trying on Monday, benching not only Amen Thompson, Dylan Brooks, and Alperen Şengün, but also off the bench, Tari Eason with an injured Fred VanVleet. A noble effort against the Thunder was followed up by just trash against the Indiana Pacers. A loss that was marred by a lack of hustle, bad defense, and even missed free throws. They were 50% from the line, and it's not like they shot it 10 times. They shot it 26 times. What are we doing here? After the game, Ime Udoka had this to say about the disgraceful performance.
The opposite of what we talked about, what we would hope to have with some guys not playing last night. So it's hard to win when you give up 67 in the first half and play uninspired and, lack physicality and throwing the ball all over the gym and don't look like we care at times. And so, that one hurts because you do all that work to get back into it and go 13 for 26 from the free throw line. Miss about 5 point blank layups, then you can extend the lead when you're up one and do all that work and then give it back. But more than that, to your point, I care about the fight and effort and competitiveness from the start to avoid getting into that hole.
You didn't try on Monday. You did all right. You still got 137 points dropped on you. You did try last night. The Pacers beat you convincingly. You've lost 11 of 16. You've lost 7 straight on the road. The Warriors are now just 3 games back of the Rockets for the 5 seed. They hold the season tiebreaker. Jalen Green, struggling since the All-Star break. 12 points and 4 of 13 from the field. At least he played on Monday and had an excuse. Dylan Brooks, 4 of 16 from the field. Amen Thompson, 5 of 13 from the field. As I said before, 13 of 26 from the free throw line as a team. They allowed 37 points in the second quarter. They allowed 67 points in the first half and scored just 19 points in the fourth quarter, where they should have had a little more gas given that, no one played in Monday's game. Tari Eason, you get some coffee. Coffee's for closers. Alperen Şengün, you get some coffee. Coffee's for closers. But that was a disgraceful performance last night by the Rockets. And I'm just frustrated that we are continuously hearing Ime Udoka call this team's effort out. And it does make you wonder if there is a boiling point for these players, if there's a moment in time where they listen to Ime Udoka, and even though he had that success with Boston, they think to themselves, this is too much. This is enough. We're tired of this. I wonder about that. It's early. We're talking about 2 games back-to-back over the course of an 82-game season. But we have to reset our days since Ime Udoka last called out the Rockets. And we might need to go back and have, Sean, one of the interns, tally every single time in a post-game press conference that Ime Udoka has called out the Rockets.
I would just have them look through the audio that we've played, so that way they don't have to watch every Ime Udoka post-game press conference. There's a little bit of me being nice. I do wonder, though, just because, like we said, this is something that we've talked about all year, and we're finally getting a whiteboard to actually mark it. I think this is just kind of what Ime Udoka says, at least to the media, just after losses. Because I really can't think of a loss where he doesn't go, well, Didn't like the fight that we showed. And this team isn't a lazy – like, you want to watch a lazy team, go – they won last night, but go turn on the Phoenix Suns. Like, if you want to see a team go – when the
Kevin Durant getting after Mike Budenholzer.
Yeah.
The Rockets, and then saying, it's not a big deal. It's just a narrative. No, you guys all look miserable, and everyone thinks you
–
everyone thinks you're leaving. Continue, Sean.
Yeah, the Rockets play the 76ers coming up. If you want to see a team that's not
checked
fighting.
Out. That's
like,
true.
There's so many teams that are like obviously so much more checked out than the Rockets are that I do wonder if it is just a thing where he doesn't want to criticize anything like acutely. So it's just a effort is more of a broad term and just you're not singling anyone out. Like if he said like, you know, we had trouble with turnovers. It's like, oh, so you're talking about Jalen Green. Got it. Like, missed shots and turnovers were tough for tonight's game. It's like, okay, so who had the most turnovers? Okay, who missed the most shots? Oh, Jalen Green. Okay, so he's calling out Jalen Green. If you just say effort, it's just everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody could have used more effort. Like you said, I do like the – maybe when we go forward and we do this, we have the but you're cool of the day where everyone's effort is bad, but – Tari Eason, you're good. Here's some candy.
A piece of candy. By the way, some nuggets coming out of the Lakers and the changes they've made. They're on a roll. They're the 2 seed in the West. LeBron James got his 50,000 combined regular season and playoffs. This is a big deal, I guess, to do it combined.
I will say, I think all sports should have combined records, postseason and regular season records.
True. It does help that LeBron has probably played basketball longer than anyone.
He's
if you were
played,
to combine both.
He's played like 4 full seasons of playoff games. Oh. It's like something like that where he's played whatever 82 times 3 is. Like he's played that many playoff games.
Right. So not surprising got to 50,000. As far as longevity goes, like, no one's been better. So if you want to use that in an argument against Michael Jordan as the best player of all time, it's definitely a good one. It's a good one to use. LeBron annoys me, and if you've listened to me long enough, you know that. I'm glad that they did not stop the game in the middle of it. 50,000 combined points, like Drew Brees had the game stopped for because he got the passing yards record. Who effing cares?
And that was ridiculous. And he had it for like a year before Tom Brady passed him.
Right.
It was like the year he retired, Tom Brady passed him.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where I look at this and I'm thinking to myself, hey, let's just make sure that we continue the game and not pause it for 20 minutes and bring his whole family out there. Bronny to like make sure Bronny gives him the assist for the 50,000th point.
I do, when it's a record – it's like, I don't like it, but I at least can like, okay, you're like actually beating a record. For this one is just like basically extending your own record.
Exactly,
whereas it's cool that he's the first guy to ever score 50,000 like combined points. Yeah, sure. But it's we don't need to stop the game. This isn't an actual thing.
Here's the other story coming out of the Lakers locker room. I guess Jeannie Buss did an interview with, of all places, NPR.
Oh, she has a new show coming out.
Gotcha. Okay, National Public Radio show. Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, it still exists, I guess.
No. She has a Netflix show coming out, and so I assume this is just PR for it.
Gotcha. Okay. Jeannie Buss says Anthony Davis wasn't happy. Quote: "We have lost the last 3 years in a row to the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs, and we really didn't have anything that was going to look different going into the playoffs again. Anthony Davis was complaining about where he was played, and he wasn't happy. So I think this was a positive for both teams." I don't know about the Mavericks. "They got what they were looking for. We got what we were looking for."
She's right. They did. The Mavericks did get what they were looking for.
They got Anthony Davis. The very same Anthony Davis who is out immediately.
I think there's some truth to this. Because there was a story probably like a week, 2 weeks before the Luka trade happened where I think we talked about on the show where Anthony Davis like gave an interview where he was like, yeah, I want to go back to playing power forward. I don't like playing center. I think the Lakers should trade for a center. And I just saw that and I was like, oh my God, Anthony Davis, you're still doing this? Like, I want to play power forward thing. And even though you're obviously better at playing center, just because you can't make shots, you can't, like, you just need a jump shooter. You can't have two guys that aren't jump shooters. Anyway, I believe that what Jeannie Buss says, because that's what Anthony Davis says,
and it explains why LeBron in the rematch
Clutch Mafia
against the Mavericks was kind of weird with the way that he walked off the court before the game was done. I thought that was weird. Like, nothing to Kyrie in that game. And Anthony Davis wasn't playing, I guess, but, like, I'm sure he was there. So
I think he was, because I remember seeing, like, the cutaways to
him. But it was bizarre. That was a bizarre move, but okay, well, that'll explain why that happened. Because I've been trying to figure that out. It seems like no one's been doing any digging on that.
I wonder. Yeah, I don't know. And it was like immediately the camera's just all over Luka, too.
Because
like kind of his, it's really more of his revenge game. You know, like the storyline was more Luka. But yeah, that was an odd move.
A couple of texts here. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. From the 346. If available this offseason, would you take Durantula for the league minimum?
Yes.
Or would you trade for Giannis?
Okay.
That's actually a good one. Because I don't know what you'd have to give up for Giannis, but you're probably giving up some pieces. You keep the entire thing intact with Durant. Everyone gets a year better, theoretically.
Durant with the league minimum, yeah.
Yeah, and it's against the league minimum, so yeah. that's pretty sick.
You have him making...
Remember, if this will not happen...
Vince Williams money.
I really want Giannis. I really want Giannis.
Giannis is better. Giannis is probably a top five player in the league.
If you get Giannis, you're probably moving Şengün. I understand there's a lot of people that would like to build the Rockets around him, but and I do wonder about Giannis's ability to play with Amen Thompson. Durant would be nice just to have someone who stretches the court. They really struggle with their shooting. If it's the league minimum, you know, I'm going back and forth on this. I'm waffling. I'm Durant for the league minimum.
It is a good hypothetical.
It's a good one.
But I think you just have to do Durant, because what you can do is Durant the league minimum and then make a trade. Maybe not for Giannis, because that'd break the game. But then also make a trade for a star afterwards. So, yeah, I think I'd go with that.
Yeah. This is an interesting text about John Mechie. It's like, 1, 2, 3.
Second Mechie, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
It's the same texter.
Oh, okay.
You're saying John Mechie's not a good football player. I mean, he is in the NFL. He did play for Alabama, and he hasn't had a good chance yet. He had a good chance. Tell him Stephon Diggs got hurt. Did you see him? He struggled.
Yeah.
He had plenty of chances. Texter continues. They had too many receivers, so they wouldn't use them when they needed him. They used Dalton Schultz. Oh. And look at the results of what happened. They bleeping sucked. So send me somewhere where he could be good receiver, how to move afterwards just to be better, and for you to say, ha, 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 oh, this is a troll. No, that bleeping serious. Give them to Dallas to see what happens. Honestly, I don't even know what this person was talking about. I think this person was mad that I called him out and saying, like, John Mechie in Dallas would not do anything. Like, it doesn't do anything for them.
No. They should sign Tyler Lockett.
What I just read here was the most unintelligible thing I've ever read in my life.
Which...
May God have mercy on your soul.
Which proves how interactive we are.
We are very interactive.
It doesn't even have to be hinged or good or entertaining in any way.
It can
be ramblings about John Mechie.
We're in spring training mode, okay? You know, this is the third show getting back in here. And we've got Battery Chucker just putting up fake news on the Twitch nonstop. And on top of that, we're just a rambling incoherent text. We read it. We tried to read it. I thought there would be a point there. Sadly, there was none.
It really is that scene.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
We're all dumber for having listened to it.
Yeah, Junior Broncos says John Mechie is a cancer in the locker room. Junior, what the hell, bro? Can we stop? He's cancer-free. Okay? Cancer is not transmissible. I'm not a doctor. My sister is. I'm not a doctor, but it's not. And there you go, guys. There you go. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Bears traded nothing to get Joe Tooney. Why did the Texans not get Joe Tooney? I wanted Joe Tooney. Please help me figure it out on the other side. Stay put.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Got something to say to Paul?
Paul Gallant, what the hell is wrong with you?
I want to hear from you. Who's negative about this person, negative about that person? Come on, dude.
Join the conversation by dialing or texting the HRNP listener line. Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Paul Gallant.
Forrest Whitley allowed a home run in spring training. It was to left field. Jose Altuve could not stop it. Now,
yeah, rob it.
Is that because Jose Altuve is 5'7"? I can't say because there's no video of it.
We don't know if this home run was 700 feet or not.
We're not 100% sure, but definitely not great for Forrest Whitley, who I'm sure after the game will tell you he thought his stuff was good because that's the spring training theme. Like in spring training baseball, you're just going to hear a lot of players who maybe don't have the best statistical outing tell you, well, my stuff felt pretty good.
Felt good out there working on stuff.
Working on some stuff.
Felt sharp.
So there you go, guys. That's the latest update from Astros spring training. As the world turns,
it
watching
is funny.
Altuve in left field.
that we basically have to get the updates like it is 1940s baseball.
By telegram.
Again.
Yes. Yeah, like, we're getting these by telegram.
Here.
Altuve made a nice running catch towards the gap on the track. It is crazy that they can't just televise these on Space City Home Network. What the hell are they airing on that channel right now? Like infomercials, probably. I'm sure more people would watch that. You don't even need to have play-by-play necessarily. You could simulcast it from their actual flagship station. What are you doing?
Rockets-Pacers just ended.
Oh, the game that was played last night?
This is probably the fourth time that they've played it.
I'm sorry. This is a major sports city, and you can't even air the effing spring training games of the two-time the two-time World Series champs? Who have been to four and have been to seven ALCSs and have won seven AL Wests over the last 8 years. We really can't do this. This makes me embarrassed. It really does. This is the fourth or third, depending on the day, biggest city in the country. It's the fourth or fifth biggest metroplex. And I get it. It's not the most diehard sports town. It's more casual. We can't air the spring training games and watch the greatest Astro of all time play left field? Because I want to watch him in left field.
Well, does it make you feel better that now it's Rockets 360 or Rockets All Access or whatever it's called with and they're talking about Clyde Drexler?
I don't get that. I don't get that, Sean. Put Altuve in left field on Space City Home Network. I'm ready to watch the game today. See, I would love to put that in the studio. Instead, I got Pat McAfee taking off his sleeves and taking a crap on Canada. That's all I got. I need more. From the 747, most of all the spring training games is on the MLB Network. That's not possible. How would they do that? They can't put them all on.
What I think it's on, like, the website.
God, like, this is why I don't take this league seriously. I understand there's a lot of baseball fans out here. You can't televise the spring training games? What are we doing? You can get it for Summer League in the NBA.
Yeah.
They're mostly televised.
Some of those you honestly shouldn't televise.
Yes, those are horrible.
Those games are...
Yeah.
There'll be like a 10-minute stretch where like, I don't know what the hell I'm watching. No. I really don't understand. Even it, like you said, without announcers, even if you just do the thing where it's a tripod in the...
Yes!
Behind the dish where it just shows the entire field.
Put like, a cell phone out. That's all you have to do. What are we doing? This is insane. An iPad, if you want to go a little bit higher class. Ooh. With the cameras. You can't do this.
Matt Kawahara holding up an iPad.
We could do a live stream from a golf course using a cell phone. What, you can't do it for baseball? I get it. It's not going to be the easiest thing to view, but it's definitely better than like re-airing things that have already aired. I don't get it. You got 3 hours. It's just a month, but it's better programming than what you have, Space City Home Network. Paul's never going to get on the Space City Home Network now. No. Get on Fox 26 and get on KHOU, KPRC. What's up?
Ball's in your court.
Ball is in your court. It's been a while since I've been on KPRC. Been a while.
Paul, my God, stop being such an egomaniac. Stop being such a, you know, me person.
I just want them to put it on TV, okay? That's all I'm asking for. So there you go. Instead, we get updates courtesy of written word by Brian McTaggart. we thank Brian McTaggart for being there and providing us with these updates about Jose Altuve in left field, because we wouldn't be able to get him otherwise. The Texans, they're not going to be able to get Joe Tooney from the Kansas City Chiefs because the Chicago Bears traded a 2026 fourth-round pick for him. And I just can't believe that's how little it cost. And I think the Texans were asleep at the wheel here. Nick Caserio drafted Joe Tooney. I'm sure, like, they must catch up every now and then, no? Right? Like, wouldn't you think? Maybe that's illegal. I don't know if you're allowed to text players on other teams, but you're like, hey, Joe, how's the wife, the kids? Like, I'm sure you could do that.
That seems like a gray area. I'm sure it happens with like you said, guys with personnel background or, you know, front office guys and players. Like, that, it does seem natural. I mean, Tom Brady had Matt Stafford over at a ski resort,
right,
talking to him. So, I don't know. It is, I don't know about troubling, but it is, I don't know. I don't love that Joe Tooney was on the market and there was absolutely no chance that he was going to be a Texan when he seems like the tailor-made A++++ version of what we thought that this Texans could add, these Texans could add this offseason.
Listen, we all want a deep steel blue pill, right? Like, the Texans, vibes-wise, vibes are bad. Bad vibes, man, bad vibes. Things are not good right now because of the way the season ended. Tank Dell just had another surgery today. He's not going to play this coming season. I'd be surprised if he made it. We hope him the best, right? But is he actually going to be back there? Stephon Diggs is a free agent. He's coming off of a torn ACL and dealing with, like, all of the off-the-field drama possible. It seems that Vikings players were correct in wishing that he would not date their sisters. Here we are on Wednesday, March 5th, 2025, still with no deep steel blue pill. You know? Can't get it at the pharmacy. Can't get it at those online websites. You know?
I don't even know if it still works.
Good point. Good point. This is where I'm at. Can't get a date, can't get a deep steel blue pill for my Texans. My beloved Houston Texans. Pull your Patriots. Shh, 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 shh.
They did re-sign Dare.
Dare Ogunbowale. 1 year, $2 million.
Congratulations to him.
He's great. Pass blocker as a running back goes.
Yeah.
Dare Ogunbowale.
Game-winning touchdown catch against the Jags.
Kicked a field goal once.
Kicked a field goal that one time.
Probably better offensive lineman than Kenyon Green. I mean, lots of things. Lots of things on the table, man. So, there you go. I'm Paul Gallant. This is the Paul Gallant Show. Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. On the table, are you thinking that last night's Rockets loss was karmic? Also, do you have any reason as to why the Texans did not go after Joe Tooney? We've also touched on how Cam Smith theoretically has a future in the outfield per Dana Brown. So you can weigh in on all of that. And what's washed? Because we got a washed watch Wednesday coming up. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
Locked in with the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Went on a rant in the last segment about how we have to get Astros updates from Twitter, essentially, via the written word, and just trust the description. Some of them are as simple as 280 characters or less from Brian McTaggart on X/Twitter. Others are 16-paragraph write-ups by Matt Kawahara. This is how we determine whether or not Jose Altuve is playing well in left field. Somebody texted this in, actually on the Twitch. This is from 75 Half Falsehoods. Jim Crane's cheap. You know, I want to say that is the reason that they're not broadcasting the games. But can you say that when the Astros have the fifth highest payroll in baseball? You can't. Like, I understand the idea that, like, oh, he could spend more theoretically and go over the luxury tax balance threshold. It's a weird term. But I wanted to just say salary cap. It would be easier, again, baseball getting in its own way. The Astros actually have the fifth highest payroll in all of baseball. Guess who's not in first? I thought the Dodgers would be. Nope. Mets. Mets are first. Dodgers are third. Dodgers have the spending spree of all spending sprees. And I guess all this deferred crap that they're doing that clearly is gaming the system still has them as the third highest payroll in all of baseball. That blew my mind when I saw that today.
Well, yeah, because Ohtani counts as two instead of 70. And so that just kind of pushes you down a little bit. Also, I think the Mets. No, I guess the Verlander one is over. Because I knew they still had Verlander on their books because they were covering some of it once he got traded from the Mets to the Astros. So they were like a little inflated with guys that don't play on the Mets, which is very funny.
That is also pretty funny, yeah.
Very Mets. Mets. They didn't make the playoffs.
Minus
still,
the cocaine.
Yeah, they had a pretty good year. But it is surprising that the Dodgers aren't number one. But I guess that is where the financial game that they're playing kicks in.
Mets payroll number one, $333 million. Yankees payroll number two, that's surprising, $310 million.
Yeah.
Dodgers, $270 million. Phillies, $249 million. Astros, $244 million. Rangers right behind them at $240 million. Braves are $233 million. Then you got, rounding out the $200 million club, the Cubs, Blue Jays, and Giants.
Okay, I was going to say, it's crazy, or it's not crazy. It is interesting how all those teams you mentioned are good until you got to Cubs. I forgot who was after Cubs and the Giants. Cubs, Blue Jays, Giants. That's where like, well, no, it's like, okay, these teams aren't good. Actually, you can't have a good payroll and you're probably going to make the playoffs because that's what you can say about all those teams and their recent World Series champions. Like, even the Rangers didn't make the playoffs last year, but they won the World Series the year before. So it does kind of show that, like, hey, just if you spend money, chances are your team's going to be good.
Yep. You would think. But sometimes that's not the way the cookie crumbles. All right, guys, 2:30. Do we have the new bells and whistles for this? Because
I believe so.
There has been a show change, in case you were just tuning in. It's the Paul Gallant Show now. Joe George still works with us. Joe George has moved from middle management to upper management. That's how I'm going to frame it. But on a serious note, and we had a lot of fun over the last year, Joe and I doing the show together. But Joe is stepping away to be with his family. They're going through some stuff. We wish him well. And he came up with the idea for this segment, but I wanted to keep it going. I think it's a fun one. What is washed in the world of sports a la Scott Boras, which is what started this whole thing? Joe George's first piping hot take. It's time for a Washed Watch Wednesday. What's washed?
We all know something or someone that's washed.
He was a bum then, and he's a bum now.
From dating apps.
Swipe, 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 swipe.
To Skip Bayless.
It's my turn!
To Scott Boras. It's time to find out who's on Washed Watch on the Paul Gallant Show.
All right. How about this as far as someone who's washed? Michael Brantley. Washed as a baseball player. Not washed as a coach? Because Michael Brantley was at Astros spring training today. Huh?
All right.
Hitting coach who can maybe help the Astros be a little more patient at the plate. Wondered why he was there. Just hanging out. Yeah. Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool. Watching guys at spring training. That
a different kind of b-ball? Yeah.
He has to go watch it in person because he can't watch it on effing TV. Ridiculous, you know?
I imagine him walking over and being like, what the hell? Why is Altuve standing in left field?
Yeah. What's going on? What else is washed? How about this? Long speeches. Listen, here's the key to a good speech. 3 minutes in and out if you're doing it at a wedding. Or really at anything. The shorter, the better. Now, I'm not trying to get political here. He said right before getting political. But President Trump's, I guess this is called a presidential address to Congress and it's not the State of the Union, but it was basically what we see in the State of the Union, if you watched it. He set the record for the longest State of the Union ever, 1 hour and 40 minutes. I guess someone keeps tabs on this because Bill Clinton's State of the Union was the longest one up to this point. In 2000, he went 1 hour, 28 minutes, and 49 seconds. Now, I wonder if they would actually, I don't know, cut out the filler, which is all the stupid applauding that takes place over the course of it, that maybe this would get a little quicker. It is crazy the way that this goes. Like, it's so polarized in Washington that the president could say anything, and then like half of the room stands up and cheers. Or sometimes the whole room stands up and cheers. But last night there were a couple of moments during the longest speech ever where not everyone stood up, and it was like moments that everyone probably should have stood up. Like when a 13-year-old who has brain cancer was, who's from Houston, by the way, DJ Daniel was given an honorary secret, was made an honorary Secret Service agent, and they renamed the Anahuac National Wildlife Refuge after the late and tragically murdered Jocelyn Nougaray. You see that, and people weren't all standing up and cheering for that over this speech that took an hour and 40 minutes. Why aren't you standing up for that part? I don't get that. But speeches, as a whole, States of the Union, as a whole, I think they're washed.
Yeah, it's a long one.
That's a long, that's a long one.
Yeah, and you're what? You're a congressman, senator. You're 85 years old. You know, it's late. You just want to go to bed.
Right.
Bedtime 2 hours ago.
You know, the people who stormed out, they had the right idea. I get it. Like, we try to be apolitical, but, like, I mean, it's an hour and 40 minutes. Like
walking out of a long movie when it stinks. You're just like, you know what? I'm pulling the cord. I don't need to be here another 2 hours.
Adrian Brody's Oscar speech as well.
Talking about long movie.
I mean, washed speech. And yeah, that movie was 3 hours and 40 minutes,
right? It has
right?
an intermission.
Oh my God. Oof.
That's why I didn't see it.
It's not even an action movie.
No.
Right? It's about architecture.
Yeah.
Cool, bro.
Like, Holocaust survivor turns into architect.
By the way, Halle Berry made out with Adrian Brody right in front of his wife afterwards because I guess Adrian Brody made out with Halle Berry during the Oscars. Like 20 years ago or something like that.
That's
okay, Adrian Brody.
I know. Wow.
So long speeches kissing people other than your wife in front of your wife.
What a night. What a night. You know, I don't relate to Adrian Brody. I really don't relate to what he's got going on. Also, I'd be so pissed off if because his speech was like five and a half minutes long.
Yeah. Oh, play him off. Like, I get it. He won Best Actor.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you get to do whatever you want.
No.
Actually, well, you kind of can do whatever you want.
You really can if you're the best actor. If you're, but if
you know
you're,
what? Then tell me that on the way in that no matter what, whoever wins best actor, carte
do whatever they want. Carte blanche.
You could slap someone. You could talk forever.
I mean, I kind of wanted the person who won for Emiliana Perez, who got or Emilia Perez, whatever it was, like because that was the only one. That Emilia Perez won an award for, even though it was nominated for like a ridiculous 13
Zoe
thing.
Saldana won for best.
She won for best supporting actress. Yeah. And then there was something else. It was like best original song. And it was one of the bad songs from Emilia Perez, from what I understand. Again, I'm not going to watch it. I really wanted them to sweep in the Oscars because I wanted everyone to be pissed about it. Because at least we'd have something to talk about with the Oscars. Because, of course, like there's songs about like turning, you know, Schmenzers into hoo-haws, you know, throughout that. But the lady who accepted the award just got up in the microphone, and I don't know if she was hammered or what, but she just starts singing, Emilia Perez, Emilia Perez. And I wish that they let her keep going. Adrian Brody, cut him off. But 5 minutes of her singing that, it would be like an extended, one of those Family Guy skits where they keep something going for a long time because they're probably trying to annoy you. I would have liked that.
Yeah, yeah, just... It's also very funny that, like, this is supposedly a song that everyone loved or a movie that everyone loved that is a musical, and she starts singing a song from it, and people are like, oh, my God, get this lady off the stage. You know, I'm like, Ariana Grande can sing whatever she wants from Wicked, and we're in.
Yeah. It's also crazy that Wicked didn't win anything. Like, I get it. It's a musical first, the Tonys or whatever, but, like, come on. I enjoyed it, even though I don't understand the plot at all.
Oh, Wicked?
It makes no sense.
I know, like, the beats of it from the play, but I didn't actually watch it.
It's basically the Wicked Witch of the West, who's green, and basically everyone's being racist to her.
Phantom Menace. It's prequels that are about the villain from the original movie.
Except for, actually, the reason that she leaves school and becomes the Wicked Witch of the West is because the talking animals aren't being allowed to teach anymore. And again, it's like, what? Who thought this? How high were they? One last thing in Washed Watch. Is renaming things washed? Now, I think it's pretty cool that the Lieutenant Governor of Texas has called for the New York Strip to be called the Texas Strip to support ranchers across the state. But I guess this is the same way that we once called French fries Freedom Fries. This is not going to take on, even though it makes more sense to call a New York Strip a Texas Strip. I guess we call it the New York Strip because there was a steakhouse in New York that called it the New York Strip. Somehow, this just took hold everywhere. I have no idea how. Texas Strip would make more sense. But, like, what are we doing? Do we need to rename everything? Gulf of America, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with Gulf of America. But do we need to rename everything? Because it feels like the last couple of weeks, it's just been rename this, rename that, rename this, rename that.
I have a follow-up to Dan Patrick. This is to support ranchers across the state? Just a question. How? How does changing the name support ranchers across the state?
Yeah, it's not getting them any
money.
Just by
saying the word Texas?
Right.
Just saying the word Texas is supporting them?
Right. It does not. Texas Swarm. Wait. Texas State. Texas Strip. There we go. Got it that time. All right. He's Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Most interactive sports talk show in town. That is Washed Watch Wednesday. Every single Wednesday. At 2:30, we clean some things up before we get out of Dodge and a little garbage time to wrap it all up. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Last chance to dance, Paul Gallant Show. A text about the Oscars from the 747. Paul, wicked one for best costumes. For a person that's flamboyant like you, surprised you didn't know that. Well, I didn't watch the Oscars. I didn't watch them. And it's not even by choice. I actually was thinking I would watch them. I was hoping that someone would get slapped. And I had a lot on Sunday. Had a lot. Started early. Part of the poultry auction committee. Striking down the chicken shack. Very fun tent. And once that was done, went to El Tiempo. And pitchers of margaritas should be illegal. Because, like,
it's un-American.
No, it's not because it's un-American, Sean. It's because...
No, you're un-American for suggesting...
No, I don't know how to tell them to stop. This
what
guy...
We call them Texas pitchers.
I want to give a shout-out to the waiting staff at the El Tiempo on Washington because they were very persuasive.
Oh, okay.
I basically said, oh, just give me a splash of the pitcher because he was going around and refilling people's goblets of marg. And yeah, this guy who I love, and I see him every single time I'm there, Jamie, he winked at me and he just filled the whole thing. I was like, damn it, Jamie, come on. There's sober children in Utah and I don't want to drink this whole thing. Yeah, save it for them.
Finish.
Yeah. Anyway, alas, earwax. All right, time for a little garbage time before we get out of here.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
Ah, I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
We're learning more and more about violent criminal Travis Scott, who... This is what he did to Cody Rhodes during John Cena's heel turn. I know it's the WWE and that wrestling isn't real and all that stuff. But it was pretty entertaining to see John Cena, who has always been like the good guy of wrestling. Even a casual like me knows that. Kick Cody Rhodes in the nuts. Also, Travis Scott came in here and just beat the hell out of Cody Rhodes. He gave him a black eye, and he ruptured his eardrum. And it seems like Travis Scott's been training for wrestling, so he might be part of WrestleMania or something like that. I don't know. If I'm Cody Rhodes, I am joining into the lawsuit with all the people here in Houston against him. I am. F that guy.
It's a pattern of behavior.
You went a little bit too hard, and you're going just like all these people who are wailing and away in that mosh pit style that apparently Travis Scott concerts have. I don't understand how that music gets mosh pits. And everyone's running around and doing the mosh pit stuff. I don't get it. Mosh pit's dumb. So dumb. And Travis Scott's music sucks. I said it. I don't understand the appeal. I really don't. Like, what the hell is that?
Why do you make him sound like Simple Jack?
Because I don't understand what he's saying. That's what stargazing sounds like to me. I've listened to the music. Well, you used to do it like back at the flagship. I had assigned rap listening because we would bring on like Slim Thug and ESG came on a couple of times, and I think Lil Flip came on too. And like I would have to listen to rap so that I knew what I was talking about, but. Travis Scott sucks, and like as a person seems to suck too. Just settle with these people, my God. Anyway, he gave Cody Rhodes black eye and ruptured his eardrum, and I hope he gets sued. A Kentucky frat president got a Rudy moment in the final seconds of an LSU game. How about that? Kentucky's hang on a second, thing is loading. Zach Toe of Kentucky, a frat president, basically had a Rudy moment take place for Kentucky basketball. He was a walk-on that's also the president of a fraternity. And not even kidding, Kentucky player Lamont Butler came to head coach Mark Pope about a month ago and said Zach Toe deserved a jersey. So on senior night, he got to wear a jersey and he got to play for like 1 minute and he touched the ball.
Nice.
Zachy. I wonder if he was the epitome of a bro. Like, just a total frat bro.
I mean, he's Kentucky frat president.
You gotta be...
If you're an SEC school frat president?
Yeah. I would hope that he is the most frat person ever. A Texas man in a jewelry heist, get this, he swallowed a lot of earrings. Can you guess how many dollars worth of earrings he swallowed, Sean?
I'm going to guess it's going to be pretty expensive.
Very.
So, $500,000.
$769,500 worth of earrings. So this guy, who claimed to represent an Orlando Magic player, went to... He went to a Tiffany & Company at the mall in Millennia, which is, I guess, Orlando's Galleria.
Yeah.
And he stole $800,000 worth, nearly, of jewelry. Law enforcement took a scan of the man's stomach, which showed a bright, shiny, foreign object in his stomach, believed to be the stolen earrings. Wow.
Hi, I'm here for Paolo Banchero's earrings. Yep, let me take those. Cool.
The Orlando Magic player in the report, Sean, is unknown. During the interaction on camera, where Gilder was taken into the VIP room, as they do if you steal. I've never done this, you know, never had that happen before. But stop. I've never stolen. 4.86 carat diamond solitaire earrings, $160,000. 8.19 carat solitaire earrings, $609,000. Damn. And 5.61 carat diamond solitaire ring, $587,000. So we've shown these pieces of jewelry, and then they checked his tummy tum through an x-ray, and they found that some of these were located in his stomach. Man. I mean, that is a way to try and steal something, but clearly it doesn't work out so well.
No, I guess because it is like not no body, no crime, but no earring, no crime. And then, you know, day later, boom. You just stole it. You just had to clean it up a little.
By the way, he has 48 failure to appear warrants in Colorado, this guy.
Okay, so shout out upstanding. Got it.
Very upstanding citizen, this Jathan Lawrence Gilder. a Texas man who went to Orlando and swallowed a bunch of jewelry. It doesn't work, guys. Gonna have to try a new way to steal. And on that note, guys, that's gonna wrap up this edition of the Paul Gallant Show. Big thanks to our texters, Twitchers, YouTubers, callers, and everyone else who listened. For Sean Mapes behind the glass, I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Wednesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.